Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is by our brother Lim Yu, who's a student from Singapore, and we've enjoyed his fellowship and friendship for a little while, and we have him for another year at least, maybe two or three. He'll go on to a PhD and enjoy our fellowship, and we'll enjoy his. So, Brother Lim, will you come? And then Mark Mayer, who is a student at Wayne State Medical School, he will be leading us in our prayer. Thank you.
Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Book of 2 Timothy, reading the whole of chapter 3. Y'all please stand. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now if Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I continue down in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May be seated.
Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord, and for bringing us in here, Lord, to a Bible teaching church. And Lord, we thank you for the Sunday school hour and for what was taught there, Lord. And we thank you for the hymns that have been sung this morning, Lord, and the powerful doctrine that's held within there about the keeping power of you, Lord, how you not only can save us, but you keep us day by day, Lord. And we thank you for the scripture that we just read, Lord, about how all scripture is inspired by you, Lord, and so that we can have complete confidence that when we're here today reading our Bibles, we're reading what is your word, Lord. We know that you inspired it and you've preserved it for us, Lord, and we're thankful for that, Lord. We pray that you will continue to protect this assembly from any of those false teachings, Lord, and false doctrines. And the only way we can do this, Lord, is by you working in us and helping us to understand through your Holy Spirit, Lord, the things that are written in the book. And so that today, Lord, we pray that you will help us to grow and to learn more from your word and to apply it in our daily lives, Lord. Help us to go away from here stronger Christians, Lord, than when we first got here today. Help us to not get mixed up and the awful things that are in the world, Lord, throughout the week, but help us to take these precious truths and to share them with others, Lord, and to have a heart for souls who don't know you, Lord, and who are led falsely away by these people who tried to deceive them through vain teachings, Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much for the word, especially about what it says about our great Savior, the Lord Jesus, and how he died for our sins, and how he was buried, and how he was raised for the dead, and he intercedes for us today, Lord. And I thank you for his work as the propitiation, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we will really think about this, Lord, what Jesus did for us daily, so that we don't get mixed up and continue to sin, Lord, because you freed us from that. And you freed us from that bondage, and you've called us to live differently, Lord. And so I just pray that through your power and strength, Lord, that you will help us to do that day by day. Lord, I want to pray for some of the people in our church who have various difficulties, Lord, in their physical bodies. For Mrs. Balakovich, Lord, we pray for this dear saint. We pray that you will continue to strengthen her body and to give her good progress as she's going through her therapy, Lord. And we look forward to seeing her here among us again, Lord. And we wish that she was here today. And Father, we pray for others who have difficulties, Lord, but yet they're usually here, Lord, for the Beards, for the Jordans, for the Cornelacuses, for the Worthingtons. Lord, we think of Mary Pine and Ethel Panero, and we pray for them, Lord, that today that they might be blessed in their nursing home facilities, Lord, that they would be able to have some type of fellowship with another Christian believer there, Lord. And we just pray that you'll bless them for their service to you throughout the years, Lord. And Lord, pray for Pastor and for Mrs. Saxon, for their bodies too, Lord, that you will give these people the strength that they need physically to continue serving you day by day, Lord. And we pray for others in our assembly that have physical difficulties and emotional difficulties, financial difficulties, Lord. We pray that they will cast all of their care upon you, Lord, and to trust in you alone for deliverance from these issues in their life. Lord, we think about those people down in Louisiana, and we pray for them. We pray that through this tragedy, Lord, people will reflect upon you, our great God, and ask themselves where they stand in your sight, Lord, and that those who aren't saved will listen to those who are down there as missionaries right now, and that they will repent and accept Christ as Savior. Lord, we also pray for our president, Lord. We pray for his daily decisions, that you will give him strength, Lord. We prayed that you would put this man in office, and we have probably not been diligent in our prayers for him since. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help him in his Christian walk and in all the decisions that he's called upon to make day by day, Lord, and that these decisions will be fitting in your sight, Lord. We pray for, especially for his Supreme Court nominations, Lord, that he will appoint the people who are pleasing to you, Lord, people who will be against abortion, the murdering of babies, and those who are supporting homosexual marriage, Lord. We pray that these things will be defeated, Lord, and that you will not allow this country of ours to go down the drain. Lord, we just pray for everybody who's in office, Lord, that you will give them a clear picture of what your will is, Lord. We pray for missionaries, Lord, and we pray for their work around the world today, Lord, that you will make that work prosper. We think of the gentleman Pastor mentioned to me this morning in his 40s who went to be with you, Lord, and we just pray for his family and pray that you'll give them comfort, Lord. And we pray for these who are in difficult areas trying to teach your word, Lord, that you will break down the walls of resistance among the people throughout this world, Lord, for those barriers in China or in the Middle East, and really they're everywhere, Lord. And we just pray that you'll send true missionaries into these areas and share the gospel with all people, Lord, because you've called all people to salvation, Lord, and we just pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to convict souls day by day. Lord, we pray again for this ministry, and we pray that what we do here will be done in a correct way, that will reflect what the Scripture says, Lord. We pray for the teachers in this church and for the many others who participate in the ministry, Lord, that you will raise up people who want to work for you, Lord, and bring glory to your name. Lord, I pray for Pastor as he brings forth the word this morning, that you will help give him the power of the Holy Spirit to teach us the word of God, and that we'll be changed, Lord, and when we'll be able to thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, I also want to pray for the students, that you will encourage their hearts today and help them to feel at home here, Lord, in this Bible church. Help them as they're on the campus, Lord, to be protected from false teachings, especially in the science classes regarding evolution, Lord. And help them to know what the book of Genesis says is completely true and accurate, Lord. We just pray that you'll protect them from sin. Help them to be encouraged and to fit into a true Bible teaching church, Lord. We pray that they might have that comfort here in this assembly, Lord. And we just pray that more students will come in. And Lord, we just pray for every member in this assembly, Lord, that first and foremost, that we will glorify you by being more and more obedient to you in your word day by day, Lord. And if you decide to give us a greater number, Lord, we will thank you for that too, Lord. We just commend this time to you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to pray to you, Lord, and to know that we have the petitions of God with you, Lord, and that you answer our prayers if they're according to your will, Lord. And we just thank you for that that precious truth, Lord. We pray all these things now in the name of Christ our Savior with thanksgiving. Amen.
I don't know how many of you read this morning. And just in case you didn't, I decided to read it for you. The Days of Praise. And for those of you who are not familiar with this, this is published by the ICR, the Institute of Creation Research. They are not a bunch of dummies or people who don't know what's going on in the world. As a matter of fact, the senior editor is Henry Morris. And Henry Morris is a man who was a head of the hydrological department at the Virginia Polytechnic Institute, or university, for many, many years. And then he transferred out to the West Coast, and he's been involved in this for years and years. And I felt that what he had to say for September the 11th is worthy of your attention. It says, "No other God." And God spake all these words, saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 20:1-3. This commandment is probably the most basically important of all, because it was the first of God's 10 commandments, given long ago on Mount Sinai. Jesus also said that total love for God was the first and great commandment, Matthew 22:38. This date, now known popularly simply as 9/11, has been called Patriot Day, and there should be no doubt that the most patriotic thing we can do is to believe wholeheartedly in the one true God of creation and redemption. For our nation was founded on belief in the God of the Bible. But our nation today is rapidly becoming a secularized society, with this true God being systematically removed from all governmental recognition. The Bible warns that there be many that are called gods, but there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 through 6. The most dangerous of these false gods is one called Allah. His followers many centuries ago conquered much of the known world. largely by the sword, following the teaching of their false prophet. Note Matthew 24:11. One group of his followers murdered thousands of Americans on 9/11/01, and we are now in a war against terrorism. This war may well be lost, however, if it is waged only on secularistic terms. There is a very real spiritual motivation for the terrorists, based on many commands and promises in their own Allah-inspired Bible. But Allah is a deceiver who claims to be God, but who denies the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The name of the true God was stressed in this first commandment when he said, "I am the Lord, that is Jehovah, thy God, not Allah." May the Lord bless that to your heart, and please do not be offended. Just be thankful there's somebody who's willing to say it. And you ought to do the same thing, my friend. Our life is at stake. If you understand what happened in Jakarta just in the last few weeks, three women who wanted to have a little Bible study in their home were brought before the court. Well, it's the court, put in jail for 6 months. And then they were brought to trial. For what reason? Because they were propagating Christianity. If that group of people were in charge in this country, I warn you, you would not have the privileges that you have. You could laugh, you could smile, you could question what I say, but you are an idiot if you don't understand this. This is an incredible thing. We are crazy in this country, and we've populated Dearborn with them, and we keep bringing them into this country. We're absolutely insane. Someday it will be so impossible. Don't say I have no love. I love people, but I also know that false religion is false. There's only one way, and they will not accept that one way. The Bible says, only the Lord Jesus Christ. I come from a background which does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Savior. He is an illegitimate child. Our Jewish people are not saved people. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. We have missionaries amongst the Jews. Right now, Jews for Jesus carrying on a big program in Pittsburgh, in Montreal, called Behold Your God, doing everything they can to present the Lord Jesus. Our big problem is that we think that diversity is a great deal. My friend, it is not. It's the greatest impossible situation. Please, read your Bible. Listen to carefully to me this morning as I preach about the Word of God. It's not an easy task. And you have neighbors like I do who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But neither is there salvation any other. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to see the fanaticism of this group. I had a friend who had worked in Somaliland, and he said it was incredible the way they would get up in front of your face and shout out this Allah business when he was out there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mr. Madrecker is now with the Lord, but he was faithful in Somaliland trying to preach Christ. I have friends at Cape Town who are trying to witness. As a matter of fact, there's an effort right now by Operation Mobilization to reach people in who are caught in the jaws of this religion, which will never get them to heaven. God help us, and may we just pray for people and pray for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt him and never be ashamed of him, my friend. They wear something around their heads and so on. They put themselves right out there. And some of us are so fearful that somebody might be offended because of our stand for the Lord. My friend, if you don't stand, you'll fall. God bless you. I thank you for all your amens. Let's just pause for prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, this is not a very easy task to bring these kinds of things to the attention of God's people. But apparently many in our particular position have found it unwise or not to their liking to comment about another situation. But Lord, we know that Henry Morris, with all of his academic prowess, has not spoken unwisely. He's pointed out what the scriptures say. There's but one God. All the others are false gods. So anyone that worships something other than the true God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who came into the world when the Savior went up to glory, is following false gods. And Father, we have no qualms with the Word of God. We stand on the Bible. What God says is there. And we just pray, Lord, that Thou help us. And we pray for peoples who have not had their eyes open to our wonderful Savior, whether from Islam or Buddhism or Shintoism or any other kind of ism. Oh, Father, open their eyes, we pray, to know and to understand that there's but one Savior. I pray for my own people. I pray for the people of India, just over a billion people there, who many of whom are just caught in the jaws of Hinduism, which can never save. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give us understanding and hearts that are true to Thy precious Word. We think of the other groups of the world which do not acknowledge salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do not speak about them unkindly. We just say they're not right. They need the Lord. And we must be wise as those who know the precious Word of God. Hear us in this our prayer, and bless us the rest of this meeting, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray, with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. I want to thank the Lord that the brethren who led us this morning. Brother Ben is a student at Wayne State, studying for his master's degree in computers. And you could speak with him about his program if you're interested. And then Brother Lem is in the engineering school here at the University of Michigan. And he's been a very faithful young man for the last couple of years here at our church. And Brother Mark, who's a senior student in medicine at Wayne State, has been very, very faithful. We met him a number of years ago, and God led him here to this place. I think he's been here about 5 years anyway. And we've seen him grow enormously in the things of the Lord, and we thank God for him. So pray for these three men and any other students who come to us, that they might learn the Word of God and go away from this place, as Mark said, to proclaim our precious Savior. Now, before I ask for introductions of people who are here, I'd like to ask Becky to come in. She has a gift to give to somebody.
I just love coming up here every 3 minutes. It's such an awesome responsibility, but also a privilege to teach these little first, second, and third graders.
And some more power, please, Brother.
I'm thankful for the parents, for Dwayne and Kim. I just look at faces and just feel so blessed to be a part of this group of believers who come faithfully, and Dwayne works the PA system and others help, and Naomi plays, and others sing, and others serve in the nursery and work with potlucks in the kitchen. There's so much to do, and I just am thankful that I have the privilege to teach the little ones. So this is the same yet different. This is Joseph again. He has been here not for one quarter. He's been here 4 consecutive quarters, a full year starting last year in September. And he's got 2 days in the new. So he has a special little certificate that says that he has attended for a full year. And then a little goodie, because that's fun. So, Joseph, come on up. I should say, too, if you're ever not here, but you attend church somewhere else, it counts toward your perfect attendance if you attend that church and then just bring me a bulletin or something with a date so I know you were really there. Not that I think anyone would not tell the truth, but, you know. So, Joseph. Congratulations. You're just a joy to have in my class. Your face is like a beam of sunshine. He has his verse memorized every time when he walks in the door. It's just really very nice. And everybody else works at it and does well too. So they're all just a class of awesome kids.
Let's have a prayer for Joseph, please. Father, we thank thee for Joseph. We praise thee, Lord, for what has happened in his life. Thank thee for bringing him here to our church, for his mom and dad and his brothers and sisters. And we just pray, Lord, that thou continue to work in this little boy's life and help him to grow up to be a strong testimony for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank thee for Becky and her interest in the children who are in her class. In the precious name of Christ, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Bless your boy.
Thank you very much.
Shake your hand, please. Hand, okay? Yeah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I think this might be a good time for having the children to sing. Yeah. We've got a nice special for all of us to enjoy with the children coming. Mrs. Posick, who's known to us as Naomi, has trained the children on Wednesday night, and her sister Katrina, Christina, yes. they've helped on Wednesday night. There are more kids. I don't know what happened to the rest of them today. They must have decided that it was potluck Sunday, so don't come. Anyway. Is that PA system? I think maybe two of them. Yeah. Thanks, brother.
You can be forgiven.
Thank you very, very much. Now, brother, will you please give me some help? Thank you. Thank you. That was very lovely indeed. Thank you, Naomi and Christine, for all that you've done. And I guess Andy was also involved in that. And maybe some others. Whoever was helping, please accept our deep thanks. That was wonderful. By the way, Wednesday of this week, the Awana program takes up again. So if you know children who would be interested in participating, it's basically our own people, but we can take some others in. But we have not gone out and knocked on doors and brought a lot of unruly children in here. But we are able to teach and train our own family of little ones in the things of the Lord. So take notice of that, please, on Wednesday night at 6:30. Then I want to remind you also that Sin May and Jeff Dowell will be married in just a few weeks, and they put a list up in there for you to sign up and say you will be there. If you haven't signed, please do so today so that they know how much has to be, the preparations have to be made. Thank you, very kind. Yes, ma'am. Well, listen, let me say my announcements, and if there's time, I'll do it. Okay, thank you, Dee Dee. We want to recognize some dear friends today. Our sister, Mrs. Shirey, is here with her daughter and granddaughter. Would you folks please stand? They're coming from Indiana. Thank you very much. I suppose you're proud now that we lost yesterday, because I think you're from right there. But thank you very much. Yeah. And then there are some students here. There are two girls here and one over here. And Brother Matt, would you like to present these people to us, please?
Sure. If anyone is here, a first-time student, can you just stand up? Tracy is here. And then Jenny next to her, and then Chin Ya here by Lemuel. And those are our new students today, so welcome. And please make them feel welcome. I know at least one of them has to go back right after the service, but the others probably have to stay for lunch. And then
Sherwood.
Yeah, Sherwood, you have someone there that's here for the first time. Can you introduce him, please?
Yeah, this is Sherwood.
Are you also in medicine, Dave? Fine. Well, you look down on Sherwood, don't you? That's good. Thank you so much, fellas, for coming. They're from up near Flint. Is it Saginaw? Pardon? Midland, yes. Yeah. Well, there's some Midland people over here. I mean, Flint people here. Tim Lewis and his wife have brought Tim's in-laws with him today. Would you folks, Tim, will you stand up and introduce them to us, please? And what are their last name?
Rose.
Rose? R-O-S-E? Thank you, very kind. Nice to have you, brother. Appreciate it. I noticed that when he came in, he had a big Bible in his arm. And I said, well, boy, that's the kind of people we need around here. Okay, that's fine. And how is our mother-to-be? Well, that's good. Fine. And nice to see Dew family, or the girls anyway. Yeah, you're around here now, aren't you? Or you're not? Just 2 weeks. When are you going to finish, dear? In December. Yeah. Well, boy, I remember when she was born. So praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here. All right. Thank you for coming, dear friends. And our time is running out very, very fast, and I've got a 2-hour sermon. So I think that what we need to do is have Naomi sing for us. Yes, I'm not going to let you out of that one, boy. These people have come a long way to hear you sing. So you sing, and then we'll just sing one verse of the next hymn, okay? Yeah, well, let her sing first. Please. Yeah. I told Naomi years ago, before she became a postdoc, that we were just delighted to have her. I said, I would have delighted to have you sing every Sunday. And she demurred on that, but it wouldn't hurt us at all to hear her sing every Sunday. She does a fantastic job. And her gifts have been given to the Lord, and we thank the Lord for that. Thank you.
Depth of mercy, depth of mercy, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me?
Next hymn, please, and Brother Bill Smith will come and lead us. It's hymn number 266, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Hymn number 266. Let us all stand, please.
God, fill me with life anew. Send me bread of God until my heart is pure. Until that day, I will one will to do or to endure.
Thank you. You may be seated. I've decided to step aside from the book of Hebrews today. I was hoping that we'd have more students here, but that's okay. You are here, and we are thankful you're here. And I just want to address you particularly, but the congregation as well. And if you look in your notes this morning, I am preaching from the same chapter which our brother Yu gave us. You have a bulletin? Nobody gave them a bulletin. Brother, we get something here. Thank you. Let's look to the Lord and pray before we study, please. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the privilege this morning to be together. And we ask that Thou would illuminate our eyes and our hearts to understand, thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With thanksgiving. Amen. We're going to try this lapel mic once again. Sounds like I've got it in line. Thank you very kindly, brother. If you notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's some very, very important items which precede the text for today. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is the testimony of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, who was a preacher. And we read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice in verse number 14. But continue thou in all in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He didn't want any deviation from what he had been taught. And I want to say before I preach this morning, I was brought up in a Christian home. My father was a missionary to the Jewish people, our own people. He, with my mother, served the Lord for 40 years in the city of Chicago. My father went on the street corner for 35 consecutive years, from April or May to September, October, depending upon the weather, four nights a week. He did that for 35 years. I had a great heritage, and I still have, and I thank the Lord for it. My father was a part of the Cicero Bible Church, which was started by Dr. William R. McCarroll, a graduate of Moody Bible Institute. And he was always noted as the man who wouldn't allow this church to close. It was a congregational church. And he went there as a young man and began to preach the Bible. And out of that ministry grew the Cicero Bible Church. Right in the middle of the Depression, they built a new church. And it was in 1929. Now you know how old I am. Well, I was a little boy who walked down the street of 52nd Avenue in Cicero, Illinois, with a placard over my head, "We believe the Bible, and salvation is by grace through faith in Christ." If you feel that my personality comes across to you a little strong, well, it's not meant that way, but I tell you, I've grown up in the whole business of standing for the Word of God all these years, and I hope that I will never deviate from that. But William R. McCarroll became the leader of the IFCA, the Independent Fundamental Churches of America. And there were other people who were involved in that same ministry, but my father was also part of that. And so we've always stood for the Word of God, the Bible, as God's infallible, unchangeable Word. And I say that over and over again, but I'm just grateful that I was never taken away from that from the very beginning. And so, Paul says, continue the things that you learn.
and I've never changed. I think the IFCA has changed, so I pulled out. I said, goodbye. I can't take it anymore. So we are an independent church here, totally independent. We are related to nobody but to the Lord. And I find myself very comfortable in that because groups seem to go all astray, unfortunately. But you'll notice that in verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice, please, the Bible is the medium to bring a person to faith in Christ. If you've got a Bible, that's one thing. I had the opportunity the other night when I went to see Jean. Please remember her. She's getting on nicely, and she's at... Glacier Hills, and she'll take visitors after 5 o'clock and on the weekends. I was going to her room, and as I was going, there were two nurses sitting at the nurses' station, and I had my cap on, which says Jesus, my great God, and one of the girls took notice of that, and so as a consequence, I opened a door of witness, and she said, "Well, I believe that same thing." I said, "That's wonderful. Then you're a born-again Christian." She said, "Yes." I said, "What about her?" Well, she said, "I don't know, but you can ask her." So we had a chance to witness. I found that she's a Roman Catholic who was more involved in the church than she was the Savior. But we had a chance to witness to her. And I left them gospel tracts, went into the room, and came back out. And this one girl who was very vocal about her faith in the Lord, she said, "You know, that's wonderful to see a man like you come into a place like this at night, like this." I said, "Well, I had only one purpose, and I had my Bible in my hand, you know." And then I turned to the other girl and said, "Listen, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?" Well, she said, "I go to church." I said, "I didn't ask you that. I asked you, do you believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And then I said, John 3:16 to her. Because that's what the Bible says. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So I gave her John 3:16. And then I said, "Now listen, put your name in there. God so loved," and she, I forgot her name, "that he gave his only begotten son for that person. That whosoever, if that person." And right through the whole verse. And she said the words. Whether she believed it, I don't know. But at least I got her to mouth the words. But you know, friend, it's not enough to have the facts. You got to have the experience. If you don't have an experience, forget it. How do you know you got the experience? Because 1 John chapter 5 says, "He who believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself." You have a witness. What is the witness? The Holy Spirit. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior receive the Holy Spirit. That is the evidence that you are a true child of God. If the Holy Spirit is not in you, then you're not a saved person. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says that. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you don't have Christ. If you have Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. Very, very important. Please don't forget that. So be careful of head knowledge without a heart experience. The two go, this idea that Christianity is not an experiential thing. That's not true. You must believe. Those are facts. But you must have an experience. And what is the experience? The Holy Spirit in your life. What a wonderful privilege to know that. And once you know that He is yours and you are His, that's what Paul is saying to Timothy in chapter 3, verse number 16 or 15. Now go on to the next verse, please. After verse number 15, having spoken about the Holy Scriptures in verse number 15, he picks that up and he says, "But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." I'm going to hold something that I'd like to show you at the end. But will you notice it says all Scripture. And that all happens to be in the singular. The singular means every single Scripture is ordained of God, is inspired of God. Every single Scripture. I'm reading in my Bible in First Chronicles. Did you ever read First Chronicles? Especially the first 9 chapters. Every single word in that section is inspired of God. What do we mean, inspired of God? Well, about 60 years ago, I learned this definition. It's from a man by the name of L. Gaussen, G-A-U-S-S-E-N. His book you can buy still today. It was used at Wheaton College. I wish they believed this stuff today. But at any rate, he said on page 34 that inspiration is that inexplicable power of which the divine spirit put forth of old on the writers of Holy Scripture in order to their guidance, keeping them alike from all error and from all omission. Page 34 in Gaussen. Buy the book, or I'll give you the statement so you can memorize it. All Scripture, every single Scripture is inspired by God. And the word for inspired is theopneustos. That's the title of that book, by the way, theopneustos. Thea is the word for God. Neustos is the word for breathe. It means it's God breathed. I want you to understand, friend, we do not believe this is just a plain book. We believe it's God breathed. In other words, everything that's in this book is from God. Yes, he did use people. No question about that. But everything that they said, every word they used, was exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted. This is not dictation, but inspiration. He did not dictate. You can tell the difference, for example, between Isaiah's word or Paul's words or John's words or Peter, or you can know what Moses wrote. They all were involved. But the words that they spoke were exactly what God wanted them to speak. So every word in here is God-breathed. You know, that's a tremendous thing. All Scripture. By the way, the phrase, all Scripture, and the phrase, is given by inspiration of God. There is no copulate word there. The word is in italics. It doesn't belong there. All Scripture given by inspiration of God. Given by inspiration. Those 5 words are all one word. Theopneustos. Theopneustos. He breathed it. He put it in there. God did. You see, the conflict that we have with other groups, immediately we claim this is the revelation from God. They say, but our book is the revelation from God. I can tell you, my friend, please do not misunderstand me. You go to the city of Durban and you stand on the ocean front and you'll see a big sign which says, Islam has the last word of God. You go on the Cape Town, the same thing. The Quran, the last revelation from God. We are saying this is the only revelation from God. See, that's a big difference. Now, that doesn't mean you dislike people or you don't have love or concern, but what you're saying, there's a difference. There's a big difference. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This one book that we have in our hands, that's the only book. And you notice there's a consequence. Since it's inspired, then we have the right to say, this is the word of the living God. How can I say this to you? Well, because there's a lot of people who say there are many different truths. There's a variableness in this. As a matter of fact, who was it? Nietzsche, the philosopher, the German philosopher, said that so long as you have truth in your group, this group can have its truth. So whatever group you're in, each has its own truth business. We say, no, there's only one truth, and that's this. Do you know what you're saying when you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ? You deny Nietzsche. It's absurd to believe that there are truths of all sorts. I'm not an engineer, but I think I can remember that E equals MC2. And that was Einstein's statement. E equals MC2. That's Einstein. He proved forever that there is a truth and there's not a truth. Absolutely. He did that in the secular world. We're saying it in the spiritual world. There is no other statement. Don't tell me. It's absolutely absurd to say, oh, everybody has the same truth. That's not true. Very sacred when people say, I don't believe there is a God. They're making a statement. And I'm supposed to believe what they say? Yeah. No, it's very, very important, my friend. And it's very important, too, when you come to this whole idea of existentialism, which has led to relativity and pragmatism. All that stuff is down the drain when you say, but there is truth in this Bible. And this is the only truth. And we make that an affirmation in this church. And we do not say, well, he perceives it that way, so that's truth. And he perceives it that way, and that's truth. No, I'm sorry. There's only one truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, think the same things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 makes the assertion also that we have been given the Holy Spirit to know the things which have been freely given to us of God. Do you understand that? There's only one truth, my friend, and one message, and that's the Bible. When you put your foot out and say, I want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, you believe that because you found it in His Bible. And therefore you affirm the Scriptures. We have a section in our doctrinal statement. And I brought a copy of it this morning. You can have a copy if you want. And right at the beginning, we speak about the Scriptures. And we say what we believe about the Holy Scriptures. There's an A and a B and a C. The origin, their content, and our approach. It's right there. We don't make any bones. It's easy, my friend, to just say, well, everybody's right and every this and that. That's an easy way to go away. But either God is right or it's wrong. You see, the postmodern position is that there is no absolute truth. We say there is absolute truth right here in this Bible. And if you don't believe what's there, you haven't got a chance. You say, those are harsh words, Pastor. Listen, well, what do you believe? What's your position? You tell me. You let everybody have their own ideas and decide what they want to believe and what they don't want to believe. Well, that's entirely an it's centered in man, anthropocentric. We believe in a theocentric system. It's all centered in God. Oh, my friend, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, because it's inspired, will you notice the second little phrase? It's profitable. You notice that word? It's profitable. That is, and the other is, at the beginning of the verse, that those copulative verbs are not in the original. So you say, all Scripture given by inspiration of God and profitable. It's not only given by inspiration, but it's profitable. Two items, very important. Something that's inspired and something that's profitable. So somebody says, I don't get anything out of the Bible. Well, you need to have the Holy Spirit to teach you. If you don't get anything out of the Bible, don't blame the Bible, just blame yourself. Get on your knees and say, like the psalmist, open thine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And God will teach you. But you got to have the Holy Spirit because He's the teacher. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And He will teach you the Word of God. All Scripture is profitable. And what are the areas of profitability? I'll tell you, the quality control is here for you. He'll tell you. Number one, for doctrine, that's teaching. For reproof, that's telling you, hey, you're wrong. For correction, this tells you how to be right. And the last one, for instruction, I want to teach you something. That's all there. For doctrine, what you're supposed to believe. Do you have a doctrinal statement? If somebody were asked you, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about Christ? What do you believe about the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about... Well, I'm asked questions like, what do you believe about miracles? What do you believe about tongues? What do you believe about missions? What about people being lost who've never heard? What about the people down there in Louisiana who never had a chance to go to church and hear the gospel? What happened to them? Do you have answers? Do you have some doctrinal statement, some position that you take? I think you need to do that. We've tried to do it in this little booklet. It's about 10 pages, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Say, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Yeah. But not just say from the head, but from your heart. This is my conviction, my persuasion. See, if you want to know why, you ought to go out and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. It's because you believe a man is lost. Do you understand that? A man without Christ is lost. He's undone. He's on his way to hell. This is awful stuff. But that's what we believe. At least this church believes, and I believe. I wouldn't be a member of the church or a pastor of the church that didn't believe that kind of stuff. But just for your information, I did write this doctrinal statement. Not for this church, but for another one where I was. And I just, it was mine, so I just hung on to it. That's all. Very, very important, friend. Doctrine, teaching. And some people say, well, you know, everybody's got his own doctrine. Well, who's right? Who's right? Got to be somebody's right. And tell me, why we would differ in eschatology any more than we'd disagree or have differences in soteriology. How a man is to be saved and what his destiny is just important. It's all important. There's only one way to interpret Scripture, not five different ways. If you accept the Bible as literal, if you accept the Bible as just the way it is, like I like to say, when the Bible's sense makes good sense, seek no other sense, or yes, you've got nonsense. That's right. But no, it's got to mean something else. And forever the scholars are always pulling back and say, oh, it doesn't mean this, it means something else. Well, all Scripture is given, and it's profitable for doctrine. What is your doctrine, my friend? And secondly, it's good for reproof, to straighten you out, to tell you you're wrong. That's what we don't like. And when the Scripture comes to land on your head and say, hey, you ought to be doing this, all I warn you about is this, that when you talk about reproof, be sure, like in doctrine, that you're balanced, that you don't go off on a tangent away out here or away over there. Truth does not lie in extremes. Now, that's my little statement. But I can tell you, you can't be away out there. You've got to be a mediating position which says, I take that and I take that. Let me give an illustration. A very common one is, we believe that God has saved us and saved us forever. And yet there are passages in Scripture, which I just dealt with last Sunday, for example, in Hebrews chapter 6, where warnings and it scares you half to death. And says, hey, are you for real? See, and if you're not for real, then you better get that way. I want things that accompany salvation, verse number 9 of chapter 6, is very important. And so we have to be balanced in our understanding of Scripture. Truth will not lie in extremes. It doesn't mean you're compromising, but you're getting all the Scripture. This is what we call analogy of Scripture. In the study of hermeneutics, we're comparing scripture with scripture. They call it analogy of scripture. And when you compare scripture to scripture, then you come up with what the Bible is teaching about. Unfortunately, so many people don't have a system to present. All they've got is some tangent, see. You got to be careful about that. Don't go on a tangent. Find out what does the Bible teach in one unit. All scripture is given by inspiration of God as proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. In other words, to make you do right, to make you the right kind of person. None of us can do this on our own. We have to go to a source, a standard. In the Old Testament, God had the law as a standard for Israel. They needed to be different from all the other people. The New Testament gives us all kinds of instruction as to how we're supposed to be different from other people. I'm not asking you to be odd, but I am asking you to be different. Sin May is staying in our home, and we have some little times together occasionally, and it's very profitable. And we got to talking just now about the fact that we need to be different. And we are different. Our values are different. Our time is different. Our concerns are different. Why? Because we're believers. That's the only reason. That's the only way to explain it. I told our middle son this last week, I said, Steve, my whole life is in that church over there. I've been with it for over 24 years. You think I just throw it out the back window? My heart is there. And your mom and I do nothing else. We don't go anyplace. We don't do anything. It's all with the church. If we get in a car, it's for the church. If we go to visit, it's the church. It's all there. He can't understand it, because he's a man who's very much interested in society and what goes on. I'm not quibbling. I'm just saying that Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, if you are risen with Christ, if you're a believer, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. That's what he tells you to do. So he says, be different. Everybody else is going to be worried about what's going on down here. You'll be worried about what's up there. And people say, you're off your noodle. Something wrong with you. No, I'm just doing what the book said. All scripture is given for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And you notice, instruction in righteousness. Do you want to know what it means to be righteous? How to live the Christian life? Go to your Bible, my friend. Don't go to the church. Don't go to some individual and say, do you think it's right for me to do this or that? Go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Because that's what it says. And now, will you notice this, please? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Four, 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 four. Four fours. It's right there in your Bible. Four fours. And the word which is used in Greek is pros, which is to the end that, to the goal that. That's what I want you to understand. If you go to your Bible, it is inspired. You go to your Bible, it's profitable. It will give you doctrine. It will give you conviction. It will give you reproof. It will give you correction. It will give you instruction. That's what it will do for you. That's what the Bible... Can I read a verse for you quickly in 2 Peter, please? This will knock you off your seat if you read this Bible correctly. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, please, and verse number 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now that's something, isn't it? His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You want to live? You want to be godly? He's already given it to you in the Bible. That's a powerful word, my friend. No, please, now you kids are at the university. I do have a master's degree from the university. I may not sound like that, but I have. And I've got 2 doctor's degrees, which are earned. I'm not parading, I'm just saying. And this brother here, who is our assistant, and a man who loves the Lord, he's got a PhD from the university, and he's got a Master of Divinity from the Detroit Seminary. And he's going on for more. I mean, we're not a bunch of people with our heads in the sand. But what I'm saying is, we believe that this Bible has got everything we need. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Wow. Psalm 119 says this Bible is worth more than gold and silver and precious stones. How much time do you spend in the Bible? All scriptures give their answer, and everything for life and godliness is in that Bible. Wow. This is good stuff. And what is the result of this? If you put this Bible to practice and usefulness, what does it say? Verse number 70, that the man of God, he's not talking about some special man of God. Brother Matt Posteth has come to be a servant of God. A servant, that's his vocation is the Lord's work. My vocation is the Lord's work. So people refer to, oh, you're a man of the cloth. You're a man of God. No, he's talking about people like you and me, just all of us. That the man of God, a person who, not a child of God. You're born as a child of God, but then you get mature and you're a man of God. Somebody who says, you know, the Bible and spiritual things are what I'm really after. What is a man of God? Well, he's a man who takes the Bible as inspired. He's a man who says the Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what it's all about. And what happens with you then? Look at verse number 17. That the man of God may be, this is a purpose clause, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word for perfect there is fitted, properly fitted. I have a problem with the old little red car of mine. People tell me I should junk it or give it away, do something with it. I keep pasting the duct tape on it. I've had people this last week, Pastor, when are you going to get rid of that car? I said, well, when it stops running. And I said, my wife likes it to go shopping. And it's good to go down to Kinko's on Friday night. It's easy to park and all the rest. But there's something wrong with that little red car. The wipers, they don't go. And there's a bolt. You probably could straighten it out for me. But this little bolt gets loosened. Especially in the wintertime, when the ice gets on, and then suddenly the whole thing stops. It just goes like this. And I got to get something to tighten that bolt. I don't have a spanner. What do you call a spanner? A wrench, yeah. I don't have a wrench that fits. If it would fit, it would be like this word, perfect. And put the thing on there and you can, you know, do it. But I don't have it. So I try to use a pair of pliers and it doesn't work. That's what he says. If you use the inspired word and use its profitability, you will fit with whom? As a man of God. That's what you want. That's the best thing in the world. Be a man of God. Tomorrow, I will go to the University of Michigan for a speech therapy experience. Again, with a man by the name of Mark Haxer. And he'll say, all right, get out of the basement. Go on to the first floor. Go up to the second floor. And he said, I want you to say, ya, 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 ya. Ma, ma. And all those kind of things. I'm getting ready for that. And what he's trying to do is say, you fit. You're okay. Get out of here. Isn't that wonderful that the Lord does this for us? He wants to make us to be fit. The kind of people who are right on target, who got the right spanner. What a wonderful thought that is. Now the next word, truly furnished. I tell you, most people get that all screwed up. They don't know how to pronounce that. It does say truly furnished, because the truly part is the preposition ex, which is right in front of the same word when it's translated perfect or fit. So the way to say it is fit and then fit it out. It's like when you take a sailboat, you have to fit it out, or a boat or a car or whatever, you fit it out. Or ask my brother back here in the farming equipment, he'll take a piece of a farming equipment and it gets fitted out. It's ready to do the job. If you understand inspired profitability for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, why? In order that the man of God may be fitted and fitted out. He's got all that he needs, like the first, 2 Peter 1:3. All you need for life and godliness. Wow. What more do you want? You don't want any more. And by the way, now, don't misquote me, because there are some people who think I teach salvation by grace plus works. It says that. Unto all good works. What's the purpose of all this? So you are an enviable person in the way you work, the way you do things. The good works. The Lord said that when he was here on earth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul said this to the Ephesians. I just amazed at this. Will you please get this? We're saved by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Verse 10. But we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now this is the big thing. This boggles my mind. Which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. Before I was ever born as a believer, God had stuff set down that sex should walk as a believer. That's right. Which God has before ordained that I should walk in them. He's told me before. So the best thing is to read your Bible. Find out what he wants you to do. And say, hippie, yippee. I can do what he told me to do before I ever got saved. Good works. You're not saved by good works, but you're saved unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. I just love that passage. Not that it's any better than anything else, but Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says the same thing, that we should ordain the gospel or make the gospel attractive. How? By good works. Wonderful opportunity. I commend all this to you. Yesterday, were there over 100,000 people shouting and jumping, over 22 people on the playing field. And how many hours was that? About 4 hours. I've only taken 1 hour of your time. They paid $50. How much did you pay to get in here today? We didn't sell you hot dogs and coffee and all the rest. But we got a nice meal next door just for you. So we can talk some more about it. You can ask me some questions. You can go to Brother Hostev and ask him. And we'll just have a wonderful time. This is what it's all about, my friend. Centered and focused upon the Word of God. I don't know how I can tell you that. You can say, well, but that's your life. That's, you're a preacher. That's what it's all about. It should be in every, it doesn't say here just for Christians. Believers, I mean preachers. It says for believers. All scripture is given an inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished, fitted out completely unto every single good work. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful service. I hope that you've been profited, and you go away and say, well, it was nice to be there. Even though I did take 15 minutes more than the 12 o'clock. But then you spent 4 hours watching on the television or something else yesterday. So why not give the Lord some of your time? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for what thou hast done for us. We can't imagine what those people are down in Louisiana. Their churches are gone. Their opportunities, their homes are gone. Their possessions are gone. And we sit here with clothes, with cars, with food, with a sound mind, with our families, our loved ones. Everything is here. Oh God, help us to appreciate these things and to appreciate the privilege to sit and listen and learn. And I pray, Lord, as a result, Christ may be glorified and honored. Keep us from sin, Lord, as we leave this place. Gather with us next door to have a nice meal together, and we'll praise thee and thank thee for it, because we ask in Jesus' name and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.